America Weekend.
I'm really proud of you for going on this trip. You're going to have so much fun.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time now for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Jurassic World.
Come on, say it with me. Jurassic World is the biggest blockbuster of the summer. It was expected to be big, but it turned out to be huge, grossing well over $500 million domestically so far and rampaging its way towards a $2 billion worldwide gross. That's an awful lot of dino dollars. And the best news is that Jurassic World is a very enjoyable thrill ride, especially in IMAX 3D. It has its share of flaws, like the forced gooey romance angle between Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, but all is forgiven when the dinosaurs are on screen. They're bigger, they're better, and with the new artificially created Indominus Rex, they're scarier as well. The actors playing the young boys in peril are quite good, and the scope and feel of the film is appropriately epic. Hey, with only one previous work under his belt, co-writer and director Colin Trevorrow is obviously no Steven Spielberg, but he does an admirable job, helped by the fact that after 14 years, folks obviously missed their T-Rexes and Velociraptors. No one foresaw Jurassic World surpassing the ticket sales of Avengers Age of Ultron when the season began, but I'm pleased that it will because it's the better movie. Ed, back to you.
Thanks, Mark. And as always, don't forget to check out Mark's great website, reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. Bullying. Did it affect you when you were a kid? Think back. Think back to some of the worst times you had as a kid. Usually it involved somebody giving you a problem, hassling you, making fun of you, whatever it is, shaking you down for your lunch money. It stays with you the rest of your life. This story from CNN. Bullying can be defined by many things. It's teasing, name-calling, stereotyping, fighting, exclusion, spreading rumors, public shaming, and aggressive intimidation. It can be in person and now online, but it can no longer be considered a rite of passage that strengthens character. This according to new research, because now it's been found out that bullying by peers has effects later in life. And I think a lot of folks kind of had this idea already. Adolescents who are bullied by their peers actually suffer from worse long-term mental health effects than children who are maltreated by adults. This is based on a study published recently in The Lancet Psychiatry. The findings were a surprise to Dr. Dieter Wolk and his team that led the study, who expected the two groups to be similarly affected. However, because children tend to spend more time with their peers, it stands to reason that if they have negative relationships with one another, the effects could be severe and long-lasting. They also found that children maltreated by adults were more likely to be bullied. That's interesting. So if you're maltreated at home by the parents, you're going to be maltreated at school by the kids. The researchers discovered that children who were bullied are more likely to suffer anxiety, depression, and consider self-harm and suicide later in life. While all children face conflict, disagreements between friends can usually be resolved in some way. But the repetitive nature of bullying is what can cause such harm, according to Dr. Wolk. Bullying is comparable to a scenario for a caged animal, he said. The classroom is a place where you're with people you didn't choose to be with, and you can't escape them if something negative happens. Children can internalize the harmful effects of bullying, which creates stress-related issues such as anxiety and depression, or they can externalize it by turning from a victim to bully themselves. Either way, the result has a painful impact. You know, think about your own kids. The first time they ran into a problem at school. When your child is at home, before they leave the nest and before they go to preschool or kindergarten, or when kids start to get a little feisty and nasty, first, second, third grade, they are so shocked that someone may have something negative to say to them or doesn't show that they like them or embrace them with love. Because think about what they get in the house. They have been shown love and respect, nurturing by their parents, by their siblings, by the extended family. So once they leave that little conclave and they go out into the real world and they realize that not every kid is going to love me, that's an interesting bridge to cross. And every parent, if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? I can think about it when my son went through it. And you could probably pinpoint it for every kid you have. That was the moment they realized the world is different and it's not like it is at home. and they realize that kids can be nasty. Back to the story. The study also concluded with a call to action, suggesting that while the government has justifiably focused on addressing maltreatment and abuse in the home, they should also consider bullying as a serious problem that requires schools, health services, and communities to prevent, respond to, or stop this abusive culture from forming. It's a community problem, Dr. Wolk said. Physicians don't ask about bullying. Health professionals, educators, and legislation could provide parents with medical and social resources. We all need to be trained to ask about peer relationships. Think about when you were a kid, whenever you grew up, 60s, 70s, 80s. These things were not really treated very seriously by the school. If you went up to your history teacher back in the fall of 77 and said, Johnny is giving me a hard time in the playground, your teacher would probably say, work it out. They wouldn't do anything. Now, you know, so-and-so called me this. Think about all the things that a kid can just say now in school. There are certain magic words that if a kid says them, boom, they're pulled off to the principal's class and they are dealt with severely, as they should be. Certain things just are not accepted anymore. We grew up in a culture where you were supposed to take care of things on their own. And remember this phrase, oh, boys will be boys. Then I guess also girls will be girls. Teachers didn't care about it. There are anti-bullying programs and standards in many schools now. Some take them more seriously than others, but at least they're there. And I think that if you go to a teacher, if you go to a principal, if you go to a guidance counselor, they are required to at least look into it and find out what is wrong. And it also mentioned here in the story about how online is an issue now. Isn't that the truth? You've seen countless examples on the news of kids who were bullied over Facebook, and some with very tragic results. There have been kids that have killed themselves and have tried to because they've been bullied online. Because the school day doesn't end at 3 o'clock anymore. Your social surroundings continue every time you log on to Facebook. If there's bullying going on in math class at 12:30, it's going on at 9:30 at night as well. So it's even worse. It's even more difficult for a child, an adolescent, to deal with these things. Now, and of course, it's going to have an effect later in life. If you are simply just slapped down emotionally by your peers, how are you then supposed to have the self-esteem to represent yourself in a certain way with confidence and with stamina when you're an adult? You can't. Children are so malleable. They absorb everything. You know this if you're a parent. And if they're absorbing all of this abuse outside of the house, and especially if they don't say anything when they come home, they get beaten down. Their psyche gets beaten down. How can they grow to have a healthy level of self-esteem? They cannot. And that's so obvious. I am surprised that schools don't put more of an emphasis on this. And it is a teacher's responsibility. It's time to get on the stick. You see a kid getting hassled in the hallway? Step in between them and break it up and do your job. Because these bullies, these morons, when they grow up, they will be the bullies and morons of the adult world as well. And certain things just don't change. So if you are a parent, and what I do, and yeah, I'm no specialist. Me and my wife, we talk to our kid. What's going on in school? And if there's any kind of hesitancy, see if there's a problem. If there's an issue with bullying. Because those effects will come back out 40 years from now. Not 40 minutes from now. They do last forever. Well, we turn now to another installment of America's Business with Ted David. Are you faithful to your spouse? Really? Come on, it's me. You can tell me. Are you financially faithful? Well, here's Ted David with a quiz.
Ed, according to Bankrate.com, lying to your spouse about spending and debt can be just as hurtful as sexual deceit. Here's a little quiz. First, have you ever hidden a checking or savings account, a credit card, a loan, or other financial asset or liability from a spouse? A one-time transgression of memory, or maybe a memory lapse if you want to be euphemistic, that might not be a signal of a full-blown case of financial infidelity, but small deceptions about debt and other financial matters can lead to larger lies. Second, do you gamble or do day trading of investments? These activities can be a sign of financial infidelity if you indulge without your partner's consent. That's true even if you confess after the fact. Have you ever taken money out of a joint checking account without your spouse's knowledge and or permission? For some couples, the occasional small withdrawal from a joint checking or savings account might not matter. But for others, there can be major repercussions that upset the budget. Do you ever hide purchases from your spouse? Hiding purchases from your significant other can be a sign of financial infidelity, according to Gail Cunningham, a spokeswoman at the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And finally, do you have financial secrets? Now, secrets aren't necessarily a sign of infidelity, since some couples do keep their finances separate. But a financial secret about credit card debt or withdrawing money from a bank account that you couldn't tell your best friend or financial planner should give you pause, according to Mary Gresham, a psychologist in Atlanta. The bottom line here is financial honesty is an important aspect of financial fidelity. Marriage is a partnership where honesty is always the best policy. That's America's Business. I'm Ted David. Ed, back to you.
Thanks, Ted. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.